and welcome to another Dev Workshop podcast, number 5. I'm your host, Todd Shelton, and today we actually have 3 extra co-hosts. We have our normal Travis.
Hi.
We got from the last podcast, we have Scott Williams.
Hello.
And we got an off-the-wall, one of the other organizers for Dev Workshop. Actually drug him out of work for one time.
Right? Hey, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Taha Khan. Uh-huh. So glad to welcome Taha.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Hopefully this might be an interesting podcast for you.
Definitely.
So anyway, normally, just like always, we want to thank our sponsors. We have The Basement. The Basement is a digital design studio that builds tailored user experiences across desktop, mobile, and TV. Headquarters in Indianapolis, The Basement delivers multi-channel digital projects for some of the world's top agencies and brands. Next, we want to talk about BAM, which is also known as Bradley & Montgomery. And Bradley & Montgomery, an innovative agency doing the smart, weird, and amazing for some of the country's biggest brands. You can find them on the web at bamideas.com. All right, so we got by that. We got by the sponsors. This might be a little crazy podcast tonight. 4 people in here talking. You never know what'll happen. Taha ate some chocolate. He's wound up like crazy. I've never heard him talk so much.
And I'm all sugared up, yeah.
That's not like a euphemism. That is literally he just ate chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not talking drugs. We're like literally talking
just chocolate. Yeah. Although chocolate is a type of drug. So
it could be.
It has caffeine.
It's like
I'm pretty sure it has a lot of caffeine.
I'm pretty sure it does too, right? Yeah, I start.
Well, these days they have caffeine in drinks. Mountain Dew have caffeine.
Dude.
Right?
Where have you been? I've heard of this thing.
I never knew that.
Caffeine.
Yeah.
At our work.
Through these weird beans. It's great.
I don't know what was that, but Brian was really kind of, mad because he did not kind of know, like just me. And it's like, oh, so babies drink coffee? What's wrong with that? Well, babies drink Mountain Dew too, so it's caffeine. Doesn't really matter. And I was like, I did not really thought about that.
What babies are drinking coffee and Mountain Dew?
No, there was like an article online where it was said that babies can drink coffee, and some parents were like, kind of, we don't know. And then there was Brian, my boss,
like,
and
a
it was
terrible
like,
idea.
Well, babies drink Mountain Dew.
That shouldn't have a baby Mountain Dew.
That is crazy
so
talk.
Babies
right
can
there.
Drink coffee too.
Don't do any of that, listeners.
Yeah.
Not that hot coffee.
Yeah, make sure it's not too hot. Test it on your wrist first before you let your baby drink coffee.
Instead of getting your baby coffee, just drive your baby to a sane person's house and leave it there. And then you won't have to deal with this anymore.
That's a good point.
A sane person's house.
Just donate the baby to someone who can not
really
feed their baby.
Donate the baby
just
to
just like
her.
The Honey Boo Boo, Red Bull, and Mountain Dew all mixed up. You know that. She drinks a lot of caffeine there.
What in the world? Okay. Hey, we're getting off topic on this podcast.
We haven't even got to the topic.
Yeah. We're getting off tech topic.
Let's get back on the tech topic.
Yeah.
Okay. So baby robots? No?
baby robots. That's what we're talking about. Coffee drinking baby robots.
Nope.
There you go. We need them.
Nope.
None of them? Okay. First off, I want to talk about, I'm just going to spitball here. Google Glasses, we talked about this in a couple of the other podcasts that we've actually talked about. But today, we see a big article on CNN Tech News where the Google Glass users fight privacy fears. So basically, I think what's going on here is that the users of Google Glass, in this article, they talk about a man and a woman, that get accosted in a shop, from somebody that's basically saying they're
invading
their
privacy.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think about it? I mean, we talked about this. Is it an invasion of your privacy? We've talked about what you could do. Just like we talked about before the podcast, is it safe for people to wear these around? Think about the gym. That's why Taha doesn't take off his clothes at the gym. He said.
I don't take all of my clothes off, yes. Especially at the downtown gym here at NIFS. It's a kind of a shady gym here.
Okay, yeah, don't know about that. But just think, anybody can go in anywhere, especially if you work in a company.
Yeah.
Somebody can have these glasses on, take pictures of private documents, see on your screen. They can just boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. So I think there should be some limitations.
There's some... I'll play devil's advocate for a little bit on one point, is that it's, I think, ruling these things out without taking into consideration other privacy concerns is going to make this a one-sided argument. So we're going to be data collected quite heavily. There's going to be, you know, you're recorded all the time. Banks, I just got videotaped exiting a parking garage. Like, there are going to be smaller cameras in more places. We're going to have data collection on us all the time. And I think getting rid of things like Google Glass is, you know, it makes sense. But at the same time, I think there's a much bigger privacy concern that doesn't get addressed.
Right. I mean, it's just like any other thing, like any other tech thing. Like, you're not allowed to record in some places, so you can not wear these glasses in these places, like some private lot or somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to put glasses in a locker room or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like someone taking a handy camera and recording stuff, or yeah, taking out their cell phones and recording things. So it's just the same thing.
I just feel it gives a false sense of security. There are so many other places that they're being data collected on, and
right,
videotaped, but nobody ever, they just assume that those are for useful purposes or benign.
Nobody rages against those red light things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
if I would actually have a Google Glass, I would keep it on, record everything about my life. But yeah, I mean,
read all about that.
Yeah,
podcast.
Read everything. See what I did day before yesterday, because I probably,
dude,
was,
I don't
shot,
know if I want to see that. You go to some shady gyms.
I'm not uploaded anywhere. It's just my on a sub backup server somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Well, but it's, I mean, it has some useful things, and we can go on about how great this device is, and then what kind of rules we can apply to limit the device in certain areas.
That's just more of like a general philosophy I have on new inventions, is don't shoot it down. Like, allow it to be judged on its own merits. See how it's used. If all of a sudden, you know, there's a lot of invasion of privacy going on, like Google had to redact a little bit when they changed their street cam. They had to take out people's faces and other stuff. So if it becomes a problem...
But I don't think that's near as, obtrusive. Yeah, invasive. You know, that camera driving around, you know, in the car would be when you're actually wearing the camera and going into places. That's where I think, you know, to speak on the other side of that, I'd be a little leery about some of that, because people could be recording
that's
stuff
already
that
possible. People have been carrying around cameras and briefcases and purses all the time.
Yeah, but normally you see somebody out, like, you know, if I think Travis is recording something right now, I'm going to be like, hey, you know, I mean, I'm going to kind of hold off.
Right.
But with these glasses, you never know if they're on or not.
Right.
So yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you see somebody with these recording, you know, especially back when I was younger and you got the bigger one, I knew when somebody was recording, right? Even with the handheld, and now phones, somebody would still be, you know, you're going to see them doing something, you know, like this or trying to hold it. But those glasses, just like you wearing yours.
I just think it's unavoidable. I mean, how much longer before it's in some other way? I mean, there's other wearable technology that...
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Who knows what other data will be collected.
Do I think they should stop using it? No. You know, and we talked about some uses for it. I mean, this would be great for the military to use, you know, to scan IDs or something, because...
Just everyday police work.
Yeah, because now I can just look at the person, hold their ID up, have facial recognition, and it could just flash something in my eyeglass, you know, and alert me, hey, something's going on with this guy, and I never have to take my eye off the guy.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing would work pretty well. I don't know. I could see this probably turning into some pretty good espionage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. We could probably talk all night about Google Glass.
Yeah.
Especially with
Let's
you amped up on chocolate.
But so, if you remember the TV commercial that they promoted on Google Glasses, I mean, it's like personal people enjoying their life, taking rides, taking pictures of their family and stuff. You know, I mean, it's more about, you know, saving up what you did day before yesterday or last week, and you don't need anything on you to record those special moments. So they're targeting that kind of, you know, people. But always, there's always negativity about anything.
You think
about
people
any device
would be okay with Google
there.
Glass if it didn't have the little video camera on it?
Yeah.
Or would there still be pushback?
I think they would.
And we can, so this new Samsung thing that also came up, the watch, I mean, I'm pretty sure that it has recording and stuff on it. So you can do the same thing from the watch.
But so then it would be looking like you're going to shoot a laser at somebody because you're going to be holding your arm straight out like that.
You can be Daredevil or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You can just do that right away.
Daredevil.
One of the James Bond movies.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. The next topic is kind of not tech, but I'm sure it has a lot of tech involved, of course. You know, we're going to talk about 200,000 people have signed up to live or apply to live on Mars.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So literally a Dutch company says it's moving along with its plan to send 4 lucky Earthlings to colonize the red planet. The catch, they won't ever come back.
Yep.
Well,
man, do you guys think you would like to take that chance?
Nope.
One-way trip.
I mean, I see the importance of people being sent up there and all the technology and, you know, how science is progressing. But, man, there's so much land on Earth that is still need to be filled. Why do you want to go away somewhere far where there's nothing and, you know, live there?
Colonize them.
Yeah,
seems like they're jumping the gun.
You think?
Well, they
got to start now to explore.
Little photos they've got.
They got little pods on
this photo. Tatooine.
Yeah, it looks like Tatooine. Just little pods.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have a little more. Maybe I would want to live there. I just don't want to live in a little pod.
Well, maybe those pods are bigger than what you think. That could be like a 20,000 story building right there. I don't know.
I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah, me too. That looks like a little car.
Maybe it's inside the crust or something. Yeah. Like in the basement.
I don't know.
The original plan. The original plan was to make it a reality TV show. That was how it was going to be funded. I don't know if that's still part of the plan.
By the time the signal gets from Mars back, it's going to be a 2-year-old signal.
Yeah, definitely. They're making this reality TV show inside a studio.
We had a baby, and now it's 4. By the time you see this signal.
It would be ridiculously popular, but I don't know.
It'd be crazy.
I feel like with just as easily as things go wrong on Earth, like... people can't even hold together marriages. Who's to say that?
With 4 people, they'd be fighting.
Imagine getting a divorce on Mars. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, in the next pod.
You get the left pod, I'll take the right pod.
Exactly. Well, you can't have the left because there's 2 other people in the left. So let's just hope there's not one living quarters and the other one.
It just sounds like a recipe for
disaster.
What were the numbers? 200,000?
That's how many people signed up to do it. But they're only going to take 4, is what it sounds.
But I wonder. I mean, 200,000 people just signed up willingly, just leave everything behind and go to this new place, Mars.
Yeah.
They got nothing better. Are they so over their life?
Are there prerequisites to this? I mean, astronauts have to go through a ton of training. They would have to learn how to exist as Martian dwellers.
I hope there's no prereqs and some people just don't make it. Like to send 4 people up and like 1.5 make it there.
Oregon Trail. Yeah.
You know, only
Steve
one person.
Steve died of space dysentery. Yeah.
Space boredom. He just got bored and didn't make it.
Send them up with a tablet and an infinite Kindle.
You never know if Mars even exists. Like recently they just removed the planet. Like what was it, Pluto?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if this is even true. Just physically disappear.
Pluto's still there. It's just not a planet.
It's just not a planet.
Yeah. They just declassified it.
Planetary. So,
but I agree with you.
Yeah.
It may not. We could be.
They
the
might
government
be sending
could
you.
Be doing. The government could be telling us right now, hey, look, there's all these planets.
Yeah.
And we go out there and there's not.
They might be sending you to Iraq instead of, and you are just imagining you are living in Mars all this time, and you are just there in the desert.
You know what? We should give these people some Google Glass.
It's like Camel Runs by.
Yeah.
There's the real place for Google Glass where no one has privacy anyway.
That's right.
I like it.
Well, it says there's an application. It's closed now, but company plans to notify those lucky folk by the end of the year.
When is this plan supposed to send people things?
They're going
to
try. You know what? It could land on Mars in 2025.
Yeah.
All right. We'll still be alive at the very least.
Yes, we could see it. That's 12 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to apply.
I'll just sign up my kids.
Take your Google Glasses.
Sorry.
With you,
you can't do it.
Welcome to middle school. Also, you're on Mars.
Yeah.
You probably won't survive.
Yeah.
If you thought middle school on Earth was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait until you have to deal with one other person in middle school. And he's bigger and badder. All right, so yeah, that's Mars. Something totally off topic, right? Yeah. We were going to talk about bitcoins, but literally Taha went spastic on us.
He wouldn't allow it.
He would not allow it at all.
No, it's just like, I don't know. I don't. To tell me more about it. Maybe I'm missing something that is so fancy about this.
So we kind of talked about, we've talked about a lot in podcasts, seems like, in just four that we've had previously. But anyway, Bitcoin is basically, they don't know who created it. They assume it might be a man that lives in Japan.
What? They don't know who created it. The screen name of the person who created it, right? But they don't know the person.
How is that even possible?
He just put it out there. He developed this whole system
they
and just put
down
it out there.
Hackers around the world. They can't figure out who made this global economy.
No, no. Yeah.
Maybe they just don't really care enough.
Yeah, who knows? But they can't figure it out. But so far, it's going pretty well. And a lot of governments have paid notice to it as being a viable option for, you know, currency being used around for fees. And one thing that's a lot of governments are, you know, or countries are worried about is that when you use Bitcoins, you don't pay transfer fee, transaction fees, international fees.
It's
you don't pay any of
that. Anonymous.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
The transactions are 100% anonymous, and so they're worried about smuggling.
Well, how would you track if you like track
you don't,
like, back
well,
money?
Well, the way it kind of works in a general sense, everybody that does this has a ledger that has every transaction and every Bitcoin ever made. So that's the reason why it can't really be hacked, because in order for that Bitcoin to be used, because there's banks that actually, you know, where you can cash them in at, these banks have to hit every ledger, in a sense, validate it, and make sure it works. Well, I mean, if even just one is not right, your transaction doesn't go through. So out of thousands and thousands of these ledgers, you know, if all of it goes through, you're going to assume that it's correct, right?
The reason it's getting attention now is because the value of it is going up compared to the U.S. dollar. But it seems like easy come, easy go.
Yeah.
I don't know if that can last. Well, in fact, I just kind of – anybody that makes a buck now, good more power to you. But
yeah.
And I think it'll change the way we think about money, but I don't think it'll be the final thing. It's going to be like the hipstamatic to Instagram. Like something else will happen. Either get shut down or...
Yeah, but
I don't think they can shut it down, though. I mean, it's too big right now. I mean,
you'd be surprised what they'll do when you start messing with the government's money.
Well, yeah, but look what the black web. The government can't shut that down. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where Bitcoin's really used. I mean, so on the black web or dark web or whatever I've heard it called before, you know, this is where you can hire a hitman, you can buy babies, you can, and it's all anonymous. You can do anything you want.
That's Tor, right?
Yeah.
That was made by the government, which is interesting. Yeah.
Wait, what?
So, yeah, you never heard of this?
No.
Yeah, there's this thing called, some people call it the dark web, the black web, whatever you want to call it. You get on there, it's totally anonymous. Nobody can ever trace you.
Is it like
do
one
anything.
Website or?
It's a web that you can get on different.
Well,
I mean, it's just like a network.
It's
just like the internet, but it's just you still search all these sites and do everything, except you can buy drugs, launder money, do anything you want.
And get killed.
You can hire people to hitman, kill somebody else. And it's all anonymous. And that's where Bitcoin is becoming big, because they're just using Bitcoin because it can be used easily. They just trade those Bitcoins.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, talking in reality, Bitcoins and all these big industry, like banking system, all the oil and gas system, I mean, all these big industry, they have a system going on. They would not really welcome any other system just to come in and kick it off.
But if they don't have any control over that, you know what I mean?
I think they have a lot more control than we think they do.
No, I know they do. I know they have control, but it's like, you know, it's like, well, you watch those, you know, those movies where, you know, these big guys think they have the power, and you get that one techie dude that comes in here and goes, oh, I'll fix you. You know what I mean? And does some tech stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like these guys are pretty powerful. Okay, it's almost like DirecTV. Remember when everybody was reprogramming the cards, watching all the satellite movies they wanted to and everything else? They were doing this for years. DirecTV is huge. So is Dish. You know, and people could literally just keep figuring out these cards and reprogram it, watching
stuff over
and over.
That's just another world, though. Mm. Like SEC, Federal Trade.
Yeah, but that's still the government.
Bank,
you know what I mean?
The World Bank, trillions of dollars. Like, they probably had people killed. for inventing stuff like that.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows? But it seems to be taking off. So they have it. And it's big enough now to where I think it is starting to scare. It's not like it just took off and it's dying. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing is like catching on pretty fast.
Yeah.
And who are they going to kill?
Everyone.
Yeah. You can't catch. You can mine these. So anybody makes them. It's not like one person, like, you know, a Treasury Department makes money. Anybody in a basement could be making it if they had a room full of computers.
Do you think they could find a way to cyber terrorism that?
That's the way they are using somehow. Yeah, they're using it to do terrorism.
No, I'm talking about the agencies that would want to shut down this organization. Do you think that they would be able, like the way the RIAA used to go in and download torrents, like songs, salt them, just like corrupt parts of it so it was unlistenable, and then redistribute them to sort of make people wary of the thing, period. Poison the well, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not a way to do it, I don't think. The way it's set up.
Even with like a virus, you couldn't start corrupting those caches somewhere.
Because once a ledger's done, it would, you know, that would default a lot. But if the ledger's actually gone, I'm not sure what they do with it. You know, whether that whole ledger is just discarded and they move on. But they literally talk about that. Like a virus couldn't affect it. You know, hackers can't really change it. Mm-hmm. You know, now that it's out there, it's like, who can shut it down? There's no set things. Now, the bank that caches them can be hacked. That actually, you know what I mean, that gets the money and hand it out or whatever. So I think they have a Bitcoin wallet and stuff like that you can get. You know, that kind of thing can be hacked. But they're worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like one Bitcoin's worth, what?
600?
Yeah. I think last time I checked, they're up around in the hundreds. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, so you know, it's not just individual people using it. Like, I just saw they think Subway or some places picking them up.
What?
Yeah, there's like some of these bigger companies. Place. Yeah. Are starting to pick up Bitcoins to use them. Yep.
Well, I'm afraid.
0.001 Bitcoins for a sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Either that or you just pay one Bitcoin and lose $800.
But again, I mean, listen to this. I'm kind of afraid about how the economy and everything works. Like, if you remember back in the days, there was a full, like a robust in the sector in the Wall Street that they actually artificially increased the price of something on stocks. And then they actually, a group of people actually made money off it. And this could be a trick kind of thing. They're actually putting money into it by just, you know, putting it on the internet and just putting value into this something. And then they'll just sell it before it goes down.
Not one person that owns it.
Yeah, I don't know, but there must be a group or something. Just cannot be like that. Transparent.
You create it. So like, let's say that we wanted to get together and we have 15, 20 computers and want to pull together the power of these computers. And basically, in generality speaking, your computers just work on an algorithm to try to figure out to crack the next Bitcoin, right? So your computers just work and just churn away and try to figure out this algorithm. And then once it does, boom. Figures out a Bitcoin, you get one Bitcoin. But if you figure out that algorithm and you generate a Bitcoin, now I believe once you generate one, you get four. Or is it eight? I think right now it's eight. So the way this started off was it was a little bit easier to generate them, but when you created one, you got like 24. Mm. And every 4 years, it goes four less. Mm. So it went from like 24 to, you know, 20 to 16 to 12, and it goes down to eight. And then to four, and then pretty soon they're done.
You think they let us borrow the supercomputer downstairs?
Oh, man, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, hey, you know what? I'm just going to use this for a few days, guys. Generate a couple Bitcoins.
Take down all of Indianapolis' power grid.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the way they do it. So individuals make the money. Mm. They're the ones generating the Bitcoin. I thought we weren't supposed to talk about this.
You started explaining it.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know. I did not know a lot of information on this.
Yeah, it's good. Still, it's something to read up on.
But still, I'm not buying any Bitcoins.
It's probably safe.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
You'd be better off buying regular stocks.
$600 for a Bitcoin?
Oh. And that's what I last. It changes. It fluctuates.
They got markets. Traders.
Yeah.
It's extremely volatile right now, too.
Yeah.
Which means if you want to be a day trader, that's great, but... Yeah.
But convert a Bitcoin into Japanese yen, like 50 million?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? That's kind of crazy. You know, it's it's really weird. I mean, to think of like that currency being that powerful, you know, and that fast, that's grown that fast. It's been around for a little while, but it's really taken on the last. And I think a lot of people like it really is because of the international fees and the transfer fees. I mean, when you think about
completely democratized.
Monetary. Are we talking about like one world, one money, one system kind of thing?
Hey, just read Revelations. It's coming. The Bible stuff, right?
Not that kind of podcast.
No, it's not. It's tech. Yeah, I can't even get there. Man. Jeez. Hey, you know what? Speaking of all this government stuff, I heard the NSA was playing World of Warcraft.
What?
Yeah, to try to catch terrorists.
I heard that too, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, do you listen to news?
No.
Yeah. They played out the three World of Warcraft and a couple of other games, like big games, because they believe that these people who are terrorists would communicate through the chatting system on these games.
Yeah,
I've been there. They don't talk about anything useful.
But not if the you clan that you were in. But hold on, they have a lot of shortcuts for you are AFK, I'm AH, what's your CC? What are the languages? The shortcuts for the game, like what's a critical damage, what's
and they
your...
think that there's something else there's going
could
on
be a language within the area.
Yeah, interesting.
That's, you know what? Just right here. I mean, a quick Google
they're
going to
be real
up.
Disappointed when they realize what's there.
I heard
government spies snooped in Warcraft and other games.
I've been told that the government spies had to start coming up with their own little code language because they started finding each other.
Different agencies like FBI and other agencies were all on there, so they had to differentiate between the two agencies.
Great.
So they don't run into each other.
Like, hey.
Hey, I know you.
Yeah.
So now you gotta worry about ninjas, I know you too. Chinese gold farmers, and real life spooks.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Not only that, but you could trade bitcoins in there. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Epics for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Think about where technology is going.
I mean, if you're thinking about, if you're talking about Bitcoins, their virtual currency is worth real money, too. Yeah. So.
There are people who work very hard for World of Warcraft money.
Yeah, I don't know if people would ever actually download World of Warcraft. They'll stop doing anything else. If they're playing on, they'll stop playing this game.
You should just give all the terrorists World of Warcraft. They would be so busy
playing and building their barbarian.
Yeah, they'd be so busy killing crabs on the beach, trying to collect all those fish gullets or whatever the hell you got to do to
give them a couple computers and, you know, access to a Steam sale. And we've got them
well, you have all
year.
Kind of, you know, blast and stuff in this game, so you could enjoy, like, the experience. You can collect coins and gold, be rich in the game and stuff.
Go.
So.
There you go.
And I heard about Second Life also.
Yeah. Second Life's been around for a long time.
But I heard that the news of the government is, I don't know, they went to World of Warcraft, Diablo, and Second Life.
Second Life, you know, they actually used to hold classes. There were some professors that held classes in Second Life.
That is pretty exciting.
Like, you actually had to walk up, and he would set up there in front of the podium, and class would come and gather around their little virtual selves.
This would be a little awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd, but that just seems like the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Second Life in general.
Yeah. Did you ever see, what was that episode of The Office where he created a
Dwight.
Second Life? Yeah, Dwight created a Second Life character that had a Second Life character. He would had two or three in-game things. It was pretty funny. That was all right. Then...
can we see those reports when they're done with them to find out if they actually found anything? That would be amazing.
I would love to
see that.
Yeah. Second Life was actually pretty good. I actually had a friend, his girlfriend at the time made a lot of money in Second Life. Like, she didn't work a normal job. She was literally on there as a virtual escort.
You can just stop right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine just getting up there? You never just get on there and act like you're talking dirty. You don't ever have to talk. You just type it out.
That also sounds very sad.
That is, yeah.
That is pretty sad.
But she made a killer. I think she was making about 40 to 50 a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Crazy.
She's making more than I am.
I know. Yeah. Hey, get us on Second Life.
Yeah.
They never know.
We might be able to make more money if we make a Second Life character that has a Second Life character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
An army of robot sluts.
There you go.
Robots. Gosh, nice. Hey, this is a
great
family program.
The whole podcast.
Yeah. Done.
What have you done?
Just bleep me out. Just make it take
sounds like I don't have time
instead.
For that.
This is a one shot, one deal podcast. I don't delete anybody.
Robot Care Bears.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that takes care of some of the news that we have. We kind of got off on tangent. Sorry about that, listeners. But you know what? If you have an issue, go ahead and leave some comments for us, and we'll try to address them.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. Who knows, right? All right. So, you know, moving on to some topics that we want to cover tonight. One, Travis has got a big issue, and we want to just touch base on it. Travis?
Well, I have more than one issue.
Well, that's a good point. Let us go back. He's got an issue with how I eat so much chocolate.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's one of my many issues, yeah. The issue du jour would be just the annoyance of Apple's certification process, which is a total pain in the butt. Although, you also agree it's a pain in the butt, though.
Well, now let me just set this record straight. Hold on now. Taha is, he's an iOS developer, yeah. So he deals in this all the time. So I'm just letting the listeners know right off the bat. Travis, on the hand, is using, you know, a compiler kind of to make these apps. So, yeah. Okay, now let's start the argument. Me and Scott's going to go drink some coffee. We'll be right back.
No, there's no argument. I agree with you. There's a learning curve, I would say. And it's for your own good because...
That's a very Apple mantra.
They don't want you.
You deserve it because you're not using an Apple
because
product.
You deserve to be good. You deserve to do the good, the right thing. It's so crazy. But this is what you do when you come into the Apple ecosystem. You give up all your rights like I did when I came to USA. Yeah.
So. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. I got to mark the podcast. I got to delete that. You're going to be deported immediately.
But, okay, coming back. So yeah, it's a process. You got to use your Intel. Like Apple says, you have to use an Intel computer, and then you have to generate a, you know, a file that you upload.
I make, like, 5 files.
Well, you should not, like, really make 5 files.
No, I made a lot of files.
Really?
I made at least 3 files. Yeah. And I had to click at least in
Wait
four
a minute,
different...
3 or 5?
There was a lot. Well, to be fair, I messed a few up, so I did have to make 5.
Okay, okay.
So if you could just read through what Apple actually says you, it has, like, right nice instructions that you do this A, and then there's B.
Yeah.
So you go from A, and then you go to B then.
So...
You don't
really?
Jump from A to C.
You go from A to B?
Yeah, because if you jump from A to C, then you'll probably have to create a couple of times to make it...
I made this thing called a distribution provision
ad-hoc?
File.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not ad hoc. Because it's like, you need to make a certificate. I'm like, cool. And I clicked and I filled in some forms, right? And I made it and I downloaded it. And I tried to set it up. I was using PhoneGap. And PhoneGap, by the way, takes about 5 minutes to build every time.
Awesome, yeah.
So
awesome.
You push it up there to PhoneGap, and then 5 minutes later you get back and you're like, an error! And then you click on the thing, you're like, what did I do wrong? And you go back through all your files, like, oh, I need to make a development file instead of a, like, distribution file. And then I had to download this and install that. And then one step that none of them actually told me about was that I had to download that file and drag it into my keychain and then export that from my keychain.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the process where you would want to use that certificate on a different computer.
Yes.
So you would export that as a P12.
Yeah, nobody, even PhoneGap, didn't tell me that I had to just download that and drag it on my keychain.
Right,
so
right. Yeah, once you generate the file.
I bumbled through it. I've done this about 5 times now in different contexts, finally getting one that worked.
Right. It's confusing. There's a lot more that you have to do just to get it working right the first time. But once it's good to go from there.
Yeah.
Once you set those ones. And if you don't use PhoneGap, and if you use just Xcode, you would not really have to mess with a lot of that issues.
But what are you trying to say?
Then I have to learn Objective-C and their markup language. And
right. Well, with Xcode, it's really easy. You just open up the organizer and you say, I want to use this iPad for development, and it goes and fetches all the certificates for you, adds the iPad UID, and then, you know, you have everything working from there. But with PhoneGap, were you able to deploy? Were you able?
I finally got it working. It took me a good 2 or 3 hours of playing around with PhoneGap. PhoneGap was easier to work with than Flash. So I made the decision. I had this entire application working. It worked very nicely as a desktop application. And Todd and I spent way too long trying to get onto the iPad, and finally got on the iPad. And, turns out that all the stuff wasn't mobile optimized. So I just said, I'll turn it into an HTML5 application and PhoneGap it on.
Interesting. I heard one thing about PhoneGap, Dad. Is there a video limitation that you cannot put, or the app cannot be any bigger than 15 MB or something like that? Is that there a limitation to it? So I got a call from a client who was using PhoneGap, and she could not put embedded videos into it because the videos, while they were heavy, they were more than 15 MB, and it was just not allowing. And I thought about it. I don't know, but maybe I'm thinking because PhoneGap uses the browser as a layer, and everything works on top of a web browser there.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just pull it from a server, like a media server?
So you would have to do that, but then you would need to have Wi-Fi connection or some kind of thing. So if you have an app that is like presenting your stuff, you would need a video embedded in it, unless you have Wi-Fi to be able to stream it.
I don't think I would even try to download an app that had a bunch of videos in it.
Yeah, well,
it would just be huge. Have you ever had an app that just like sat there and you're just waiting for it to download and you just kind of wonder what you got yourself
into? Like a lot of games and
kids books.
I gotta
go delete some podcasts to be able to make room for this app.
Yeah, but you know what? This is true. Like, a lot of apps are really lightweight. They're like less than like, they're really lightweight. But some of the apps, like, which use Coco Studio, which is the new Sprite Kit, they use like heavy graphics and stuff for games and, you know, children's book, and they have a lot of tons of audio and stuff. You did one, Todd, with the Professor Garfield thing. Yeah. That's a pretty big app.
Yeah,
it's pretty, because it has a lot of, you know, audio files in it.
Yeah, and we discussed it and said, hey, this is going to be probably about a 40 to 50 meg.
Yeah, file. Yeah. Right. And you were able to push it from Flash, so I'm pretty sure you can do it from Flash, but I'm not sure about PhoneGap.
This is, thankfully, it's just a form. That's pretty much all it is. It's a form and a little interactive gauge at the end. So nothing heavy on the media, but that's good to keep in mind.
Yeah.
If I ever had to do something media heavy. But yes, that was my major gripe for the day. I finally surmounted it. And I understand that Xcode is much, much easier. Like, it's like, if you're an Xcode, you click two buttons and it all works.
Right, it's pretty easy if you read them.
If you're doing native, it's great.
Seems to be the case with most. I've had the most problem getting mobile development set up.
Have you even tried Android? Just don't.
Yeah,
Android
that was
is a total pain.
Really not fun. Well, all the SDK stuff. Trying to.
And you're like, you download the SDK manager, and you're like, what? There's like, it opens up this little box. You're like, what do I need to check here?
Oh, there's like a 10,000 list thing. You know, I just said all of them.
Yeah,
as like
and
an idiot.
That's downloading the SDKs.
And I'm
all
at
the
a
way
coffee shop.
Android.
Some guy starts complaining because YouTube stopped working because I'm downloading every SDK ever.
Wow.
And every plugin, every extension possible.
And then I complain because some of them weren't even like compatible with what I had. And then like, I don't know. I just gave up.
Yeah, and then the emulator is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much got to test on your device.
I drank so much coffee just sitting there waiting for that thing to build up. Each time it would try to put it on the emulator, it took like 5 minutes. I was just sitting there waiting.
Yeah. That's why we get paid the big bucks.
It is. Patience.
$25K a year gets you a lot.
Of coffee?
Yeah. It buys a lot of coffee and waiting around. Maybe I'm used to it because I was in the military. Hurry up and wait.
Should we make an app that utilizes all this downtime in between builds?
Good point. I like that.
Just like a little mini game.
Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, God.
Tetris.
Is that what you were doing when we started the podcast?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty bad. Okay, so,
I'm done.
Yeah, are you done?
Yeah.
Do you have any other issues you want to talk about?
That was way longer than I wanted it to be anyway, so.
Yeah, but it was important information.
It is. My Twitter followers also know.
Did you tweet during that time?
Yeah.
Wow. Right now?
No, not right now, but like earlier in the day, I tweet about it.
I want people to think that we are sitting here like dedicated.
Yeah.
Hate tweets?
Yeah, like you can tell a developer because most of their tweets are going to be about whatever is annoying them at that current
you mean
point
like
in their life.
My internet is not working.
I can't believe.
Yeah, like the company internet is down is a major one, or my stupid boss
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they could still tweet from their phone.
Yeah.
But I was getting ready to say, man, if your company internet's down, how are you really tweeting?
Yeah, you can use your LTE.
Yeah.
Or like it's bad. I've had like people be like, my company internet's bad. Or, that's how you know it's a developer because they're just mad all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to follow some Apple developers. They're pretty good about their tweets. They post, yeah, they have good vibes on their tweets.
Oh, good vibes?
Good vibes.
I'm always a good vibes tweeter.
Mine are never good.
Really?
I was mad.
I wonder why I stopped following you. I got depressed all the time.
A lot of Flash developers actually just quit, so they didn't know what to do.
They just want readers.
Do what?
A lot of Flash developers just quit, so they're really depressed right now.
I know.
Yeah.
No, they're going down. All right. any of the rest of you guys have issues too? Do we need to talk? Do we need to talk about some not programming issue? Taha?
Yeah. Well, we can talk about iOS and PhoneGap. There's so much more to
add
on
it.
But you raised a good thing about Android. And, I mean, if you want to do it for Android, it's more difficult to download how to fix it and all kind of stuff.
And, for Android?
Yeah, don't you think so?
No.
No?
No. But now, if you download the SDK and you're actually trying to do that process, I think so. But, like, doing the Android and PhoneGap, you don't even need it.
You don't even need a certificate.
No, you don't need
it. It just builds.
I had to get a terminal application to update my Android and all this extra crap.
And that's if you're doing the SDK and using that. But PhoneGap, yeah, if you're doing the cloud.
Well, that's awesome. It builds in like cloud. A minute. Yeah. And you could just go to your, like, log in on your phone as well on the PhoneGap web and then go to the app, click the button, and it'll install on your phone.
Yeah, it's awesome. Then you can install Hydrate, too.
Yeah.
Which will automatically detect if your app's been, if your code's been updated.
Man, PhoneGap should be giving us money right now.
Yeah, Adobe, if you hear this podcast, please send over $100,000.
Yeah.
Do they own PhoneGap?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's Scott weird. Just stopped using PhoneGap.
There you go. And Adobe for that? Never. You guys created Flash and Dreamweaver.
That's like their new thing is they just sneak up. They did purchase all these things.
They've done a good job with PhoneGap and and Brackets. They did a really good
Brackets
job.
Brackets was the other one that I didn't know was them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they just stopped putting their name on stuff.
Yeah,
Microsoft should start doing that.
No, wait a second. Now, hold on now. Now, Brackets is an open source.
Yeah, but it's developed by Adobe, right?
But it is developed by – it is, but – it's really part of their Creative Cloud because I think it's part of Edge.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So it's one of the developer tools in the cloud that's kind of branched off to be very much on its own. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, we created this thing.
Did they really create it?
And move it off to the side.
Buy it?
No, I think, who knows? They probably bought it.
Yeah.
Probably some guy in his garage made it and said, hey, you want to buy it? But that's what it is. But you're absolutely right. Adobe's, their name is on it. And they did it.
And it's a nice tool. I like it.
It is very close to Sublime Text.
Yes.
And we did talk about this.
I ran into a weird issue with it when working with PhoneGap, however, and I had to move back to XAMPP. I was working on this application, and all my images were one file up from my things were Ajax in, so I did the typical ./ to go up directory and load in from images. But the local server that PhoneGap or the Brackets runs works that way. It'll go up one folder and then load in the images. But all other servers do not work that way and assume you're running in that higher level context. It was the weirdest bug. It was the strangest bug. So I don't know how much I can trust PhoneGap, or not PhoneGap, how much I can trust Brackets now.
Yeah.
Because I really need my stuff to just work when I upload it to the web. And so I've had to go through and fix all those image links.
Yeah. That's why I just like my IDE. I like my PHP store. I'll take it.
Which actually is a sponsor.
It actually is a sponsor, and that takes us into the next sponsor, right? JetBrains, the proud developer of a lot of products, actually, but they actually have sponsored us and gave us a nice little PHP Storm license to use, so we can use those during our development process in classrooms and workshops that we put on throughout the city here. And so thank you, JetBrains, for doing that. Mm-hmm. Something that gets me, too, I just literally wrote a blog post about this. All the stacks that are coming out in web development. Now, I'm not sure in iOS you probably don't have this, but if you do a lot of web stuff, you got the mean stack, and all these other guys are starting to, layer all these libraries on top of each other.
Do they share a lot of libraries, or are they all different?
No, a lot of them are different. Mm. The biggest one you hear lately is the mean stack. It's Mongo, Expresso, and it's Express.
The Node.
Express, Angular. And Node. So
it doesn't surprise me. I don't know. I'm happy to see people coming together on stuff. And there are area little camps forming. Because at least you have stuff to pick from. It would be a lot worse if you just had a wild Amazon forest to run through, try to figure out what you should cobble together.
Are you talking literally Amazon companies? Because they got their new drones now.
Drones are coming at for us.
Yeah, drones.
You haven't seen that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you guys know about that too?
We should talk about it.
Anyway, go back to the stack. Yeah, but seriously.
I mean, I just like seeing people. That's one thing I really love about web development as a culture is that we make our own tools. We don't have to wait for Microsoft to come out with something. We just make it ourselves.
TypeScript or something.
Yeah. We make it. We build it.
You launch it.
Improve on it.
Yeah, you're happy about the whole product. Yeah, I like the idea. But don't you miss those nice Flash websites? All you see is like all those stupid scrolling websites with HTML5 and JavaScript now.
I saw a Flash website today. It had little bubble sounds with fish.
Yeah, and a video running within.
Lots of blur effects.
Yeah.
All right.
And sound matching with the frame animation at the same time. It's like a sound effect.
Our account manager really loved it because she couldn't highlight and copy any of their content out of the page to build their profile on her site. So that was really great.
I do that. I would do that sometimes for making Flash sites.
I did too.
It's a pain to try to make selectable text.
Were those the dynamic text boxes?
Yeah. And oftentimes I just set them to unselectable because there were some weird issues you'd run into if they were selectable text boxes. They would render slightly differently.
Yeah. But I will take back that, just not the scrolling website. We are seeing a lot more with HTML5 and JavaScript, like a closer Flash experience on web.
Mm-hmm.
But still, new browsers have to support it, and we still have old browsers and all that, but that's a different topic. But
I think
the experience is getting there. I mean, you can still get a decent experience. If you guys know about the framework GreenSock, which is a great animation library.
Oh my gosh.
It was really popular on Flash, and that is where it all started with easing and, you know, nice animations. And now it's on JavaScript, so I've seen a lot of actually popular HTML5 and JavaScript websites using the same GreenSock library. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice stuff coming out.
And you're right. There are like a ton of options. And I feel like people get a little jaded. Almost they just kind of like, oh, great, another thing to learn about. But, I mean, isn't that what like...
Yeah.
I mean,
part of the problem, but...
Yeah. Well, like, you know, teaching some of the groups that we do and stuff, you know, so you get a guy that's either intermediate or whatever, you know, so, and all of a sudden they go in there and they create a new project with some of these tools, create project, boom, all of a sudden it loads up like six new folders. You got an app, you got a config, you got a node, you got all these folder structures and you're like, dude, I just wanted to create a one-page site.
But
you know what I mean? It's like,
but again,
what is over?
But
you know?
Again, I mean, people think everything is so easy, and they want to make a brilliant website. The first class, they took a couple of classes, and they say, oh, I'm good to go with the language. I know everything about it. But you got to know. You got to learn the right way. Pick up JavaScript, a good book, and learn the book. Learn the language first. Learn CSS. Learn HTML. Learn the basics.
Oh, I agree.
And then move on to brick frameworks like, you know, six folders and seven folders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People just are looking for shortcuts, which is the reason these jQuery and these libraries are so popular, because they get a lot of work done.
Yeah.
Well, jQuery is a great library, but, you know, they have some other libraries that you can just use around to escape a lot of JavaScript programming. Like, I've seen a lot of parallax libraries in JavaScript that you can use to have the parallax effect, which just got fancy after the iPhones and iPad.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to jump on and just use it and create the effect instead of learning JavaScript and being able to make it on your own, you know.
So. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think there's a need for it. I really do. Because, you know, for the big applications that you need to make, the web apps, that's great. But, you know, just like I tell a lot of people, you need to think about your project before you just jump in and be like, I'm going to use the mean stack, and then you don't need the mean stack. You know what I mean?
Right. This was too complicated.
Yeah, it's like, what are you trying to do? You know, so think about that. But it's just funny how people just try to jump into these things
real quick. Try to get things out of it,
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying that you don't use these libraries. You eventually use that, but you don't want to recreate the whole thing into, you know, create a, you know, re-engineer the whole thing that's already built by someone, just use it, but you got to be at a good, stable position.
Especially if you've been in a project that big that would justify something like that.
Right. Like recently I was talking about a coffee script.
Yes.
Have you guys heard about a coffee script?
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
So, I mean, you can transfer, like, you can write in CoffeeScript, it decodes it for you in JavaScript, and then you can, I mean, I don't really know the use of CoffeeScript. You guys can tell me more about that. I don't know.
I've never really used that much CoffeeScript.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it written. It's basically kind of a shorthand, a little bit.
It's Python-like, too, which is one of the reasons I stay away from it, because I don't like tabbing being important.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but I can't comment on it too much.
As far as I know, it just compiles in the JavaScript.
Yeah, it does.
It just does.
It's just a shorthand kind
of.
Yeah,
the issue that you get is and that's my problem with that sort of native language, is that if there's a bug in the compilation step, right, I don't know what line of JavaScript is always analogous to what line of CoffeeScript. Which is really annoying to me.
Yeah,
there's some tools out there that will do that for you though.
Yeah, I'm sure there's.
So it's just like a compiler thing. So it's just like Flash, your ActionScript is being compiled into something instead of.
I think the argument was that the JavaScript typically will be compiled anyway. If you're using something like Grunt, that'll do it for you, and Minify. What's the difference? Why not just write it in something that's stronger typed and adds a bit more of that structure to JavaScript that you didn't have otherwise. Although there are arguments, I think, during our tools workshop that we had in November, we heard some pretty good arguments from David Brainerd Banker about why JavaScript is good on its own and why you might not even need something like CoffeeScript.
Yeah.
But right. There are definitely people who come from other backgrounds that appreciate stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah, I agree on the thing that it has more structure, probably, which would be a good reason to use CoffeeScript because it has structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Really, it's just another tool. If it works, that's my argument, really, for anything, is if it works the way your brain works, then
use it
to you.
Yeah.
So, being developers, I say that often. It's just you keep on learning new languages, and then you don't just take, you really don't love a language. Don't ever make that mistake.
Yeah, like because we did all, most like of us did with Flash.
All we did with Flash.
Yeah, right. I mean, three of us at the table are old Flash developers.
Yeah
so that really kind of sucked.
We were really into it.
Yeah.
We were making frameworks and like our own things and classes and stuff and all that. Oh,
hold on.
Yep.
It's like your little sandcastle got washed away.
Yeah. That was unfortunate. That was a good language. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing was... ActionScript maybe was one of the first languages that was fun. I coded PHP before, but PHP wasn't fun. C is not fun.
You know what? I tell you why. Because ActionScript, you used to animate stuff. That was the whole thing. You could actually program to animate.
It was freaking
motion
easy.
Motion was easy. You have a timeline. You can alpha and help out move to X and Y positions and stuff.
Can this be like the old Fogies podcast where we sit on the front porch with rocking
chairs
and complain about how awesome the old days were?
I just read an article talking about...
Yeah,
we can get some sweet tea or mint juleps and
why the
talk about
the
how
web
good
and
our life was 5 years ago.
Yeah, do it what now?
I read an article today about why the web and JavaScript in general is kind of lacking right now. Is because it doesn't have this idea of a view that exists in like Objective C and ActionScript. All these things, a class is physically separated from everything else. Right, you can kind of hack it in JavaScript. But no matter what, it's always existing inside that greater context of the DOM. Mm-hmm. And so you can't make these little self-contained components. Mm. I was like, oh, yeah. That was one thing I really liked about ActionScript, was making this thing that I could easily drop into other places and it'd work exactly the same.
Mm. Man, I miss that.
Yeah.
Working everywhere.
Yeah.
It's got a timing function. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have that sort of built-in, obviously... GreenSock is built up that for the sake of recreating it, but it's, I mean, you have objects, you build them modularly, and
I'm still getting used to that.
So I don't think everything is bound to the DOM. It's just it was immediately built for it, but I think it's,
you have to be careful with that. You have to understand that you have to create new context for your variables while you're still overwriting greater ones.
The scope changes if you use this local and all.
And the fact that an anonymous function is always scoped to the window. Really? That one still gets me. Yeah.
So if you Bing have... tip from Dev Workshop.
Yeah.
Anonymous functions are yes. scoped to the
So window. have you ever attempted to like create a JavaScript prototype and all that kind of stuff, and you have like an event handler or something inside that, mm-hmm. one of its little functions. If you have an anonymous function inside of that, mm-hmm. that prototype, that anonymous function will be scoped to the window, which is why oftentimes you'll see JavaScript developers make a variable in there called like var me equals this or something, mm-hmm. and then use me inside that anonymous function because it still has that, closure. It still knows about the function itself, but it's not scoped to that particular function variable anymore. Yeah. It's extremely aggravating every single time you run into it.
There's so many ways to do one thing in JavaScript, and just using a different keywords just changes a lot of stuff. So it's again, if you buy a good object oriented JavaScript, there are two great books, one by Rocks and one by some other company, and they're really good books, and they teach all these techniques in which you create prototypes and how to extend and how functions can be local and how the scope and everything. And if you go through that basic, then you can write your own libraries and classes, and then you can have a way better understanding.
People really need to pick those up.
Yeah. But even those books are like, I mean, I read them through and I practiced them, but if I go back again, if I see something on the website in JavaScript, I see a different technique being used there. Yeah. And then what I learned, totally then different. I got to use that, learn that technique. So there's so many techniques just running.
It's quite a mishmash.
Out there, and then
where you try to put a plugin in. And...
So if you found something like a JavaScript library and you're trying to change anything about it, mm-hmm. and then you really need to understand how this developer has coded this JavaScript because he came from maybe a Python background.
Very difficult aspect of the language.
It's all craziness.
Yeah.
Madness.
With Objective-C, all you see is square brackets everywhere.
Yeah. But then again, that's a language you're not bringing in a ton of other things and library. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, but it's easier because if you... Apple really kind of forces a way that you do things in their language... In the Objective-C Coca, and if you download like a framework or a third-party framework, and if you just use it, you can just go through it and read it, and you'll understand how and what it's doing.
So Apple enforcing something?
It's kind of familiar language.
Apple would never force you to do something like
that. Did you ever look at that Dart thing? I know you said you'd seen it before.
Yeah, I played with Dart just very, very... I mean, it's been a year
ago. It seemed like another kind of CoffeeScript standardization... Yeah. But the neat part is that they built their own tool, their own IDE that had that compile level debug that led you through what was going on.
That was Google too, right?
Yeah. And I like Angular, which Google now does too.
Really?
You know, so we're the main supporters behind Google.
I guess I need to pick it up.
Behind Angular. Yeah.
I talked to other Todd all about that.
Double Todd.
Double Todd.
Well, he's an expert on Angular too, right?
Who?
He's teaching your classes.
Todd will do some Angular for us,
Loves Angular.
Yeah, he does love Angular.
He does. There's one complaint is that once you have it, it has you.
Yeah.
it handles everything or nothing.
It's good. Oh, it's good. All right. Well, I think we ran out of this topic. But speaking of Todd too, I want to send a best wishes. Hopefully Todd's dad had a heart attack. And that's why he couldn't be here tonight to talk with us. So I want to send out,
well wishes.
Yeah, well wishes to him and his family and hope he gets a little bit better. Womp, womp. Took that down, didn't I?
He did.
A little bit. Sorry,
speakers. You brought up this rainy day thing.
And
now we got heart attacks.
Yeah. So I brought up on the website here, it's called Rainy Day JS. And literally it shows a window. It looks like you're looking out at this city. So, go out and Google that, rainyday.js.
It's like the saddest website ever.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think
I feel like I need like a bay window seat in front of it just to look out longingly at the city.
I love rainy days because now I feel like I can stay inside and program and I don't have to be outside. But one thing that's cool about this is the particles.
Yeah.
If you think about a particle engine in here, this rainy day JS, just intense. Don't think of it as this, but think about what the particles are doing. I mean, it's impressive.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. It's pretty real.
The animation is kind of jagged, but I mean.
But that's,
probably maybe because you're recording audio too.
Yeah, that could be too. Who knows? But anyway, so I want to say thanks. I don't have to announce everybody for once.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's here except for Todd. But
just are grateful for our sponsors. And
Taha, thanks for showing up and eating chocolate.
Thanks for hanging me, Todd.
Getting all jacked up.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to try to do this more, get everybody in here. I think it's a good round table. Got a little different opinions in here and get everything.
Yes. I don't have to do anything. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Roll down from your office. And
I know. It's wonderful.
We'll just talk about
it. You guys can just drain your car batteries while I just chill out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
We can hold this podcast anywhere.
No, we can't.
In your town, listeners. Have us come to your town. Yes. Of course, you'd have to pay for us to show up.
I'd come, though. Great.
Yeah, it'd be all right. Yeah.
I'd buy my own food.
I would, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you pay for our way out, we'll buy our food.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, hey, happy holidays to everybody out there. Hopefully your holiday season's safe. Enjoy family if you have it. If not, do some good programming over the holidays. So I'm sure some of us will.
We'll see them again. And
we might. We might see them again before holidays, but
if we were to
might
take 2 weeks exactly, we would be recording on Christmas Day.
Oh. Ooh, yeah, probably not going to do that. My girlfriend would kick my butt.
I can do that. You guys can just take off on that day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Ty and I will record the next podcast. And then we'll have to wait like another week because Todd's the only guy that knows how to put it up.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, well, thanks everybody for listening to the podcast. Thanks, Travis, Scott. Taha, appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Later.